Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 4 in our teaching on the Book of Philippians titled, What Does It Mean to Be a Bondservant? Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
In chapter 4. Let's pray and let's get started on this exciting adventure in the Book of Philippians. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day. Lord God, we do ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us this morning. And dear God, without the presence of your Spirit, it just leaves us with each other without your Spirit. And Lord Jesus, I just ask and pray that you'll be with us and your Spirit will be in us, that we might experience each other and you in the Spirit. Lord, when you're with us in your Spirit, you're larger than life. You allow us to experience life larger than what the natural life is in itself. So, Lord Jesus, let your Spirit come in power. I am asking that your Spirit will be with us in power, that this will not just be a regular Sunday. I can feel, Lord God, in my spirit that this is going to be a low spiritual Sunday. So by the blood of Christ, if that's true, or might just be in me. Has anybody got a witness of that? Let's just break that. So Lord Jesus, we just break any mundane or anything of the spirit here that would be this. What we declare in the name of Jesus, this is not a normal Sunday, that this is a special Sunday, and that Jesus Christ will be glorified, that God will be worshiped and honored. And dear God, we will magnify you this day because we have the authority to declare it done in the name of Jesus and by his blood upon the cross of Calvary. We declare this a special day at New Life in the adventure of your word and in the power of your spirit. Dear God, do what only you can do. We can't do it, but we sure are asking you to take us over. In Jesus' name. Anybody like that prayer? Say amen. I felt that one. We might just need to pray. Felt good to me. Thank you, Ray. Where'd he go? Amen. What does it mean to be a bondservant? This is lesson 4 in your workbook. This was your lesson to do this past week. I hope you had time to do your lesson. If you did not, we'll go over it a little bit here in the beginning. And we will have, I'll have some answers and you can have some answers. All of our answers don't have to match because what we're looking for is for you to study the Word of God. Now, as you're doing lesson 4, the first three lessons is basically an overview of the book of Philippians. The fourth lesson, we are beginning in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You can say, wow, Alan, this is going to take a long time to get through Philippians if we're just doing two verses this week. Next week, it'll move a lot quicker. You'll see in your next lesson, we will cover a lot more verses. Now, this week, what we're covering is lesson 4, what does it mean to be a bond servant? Now, in Philippians 1, verses 1 and 2, now, I'm going to give you what's called the lesson emphasis. Each week, I'm going to do is do a lesson emphasis, what the emphasis of this lesson is. And we can see here, verses 1 and 2, Paul and Timothy are what? Bond servants. Now, if you have your observation worksheets in the back of your workbook, under verses 1 and 2, I would encourage you to underline bond servants. That's in your observation worksheets, which are in the back of your workbook. If you can underline bond servants, a lot of times I like to put little symbols over a bond servant. Does anybody have a symbol for that? Bond servant. A good little symbol to put over bond servant here is just a cross. The cross of Christ. As we look into what a bond servant is. This is the emphasis is what's underlined here. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus to all the saints. Underline saints, look to your left and look to your right and say, good morning, saints. We are saints of the Most High God. One thing that we learn about saints here in talking about the behavior we'll see in this lesson, what are the behavior of us at a church? What's the behavior of each other in the congregation? We are to address each other as saints. You can call me Brother Allen if you want to, but I just kind of like the ring of Saint Allen. So we are to, if we truly are walking, now here's the way the spiritual things work. When it says that we are saints, there has to be a spiritual transaction take place in your head and in your heart. When we view each other as saints, we will then treat each other as saints. You know, in the Catholic Church, they'll say Saint Paul or Saint Peter. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, Alan, that's not true. I say, yes, it is true, and I'm one too. Saint Alan, I just don't have a statue yet. But I am Saint Alan, just like you are a saint. Now, what is the understanding of this word is if you believe that, here's our problem. Most Christians do not believe they're a saint. So therefore, if you don't believe you're a saint, you don't believe somebody else is a saint, so therefore you're going to not treat each other as other saints. So it's important that you receive that you're one first. If you're having a trouble with treating each other in the church as saints, it's because you don't believe you are one. You need to come out of being a redneck and be a saint. Amen. We are not redneck saints. Well, maybe we are because of the blood of Jesus. I'll make it work somehow. But we are saints for Jesus Christ, and we are to address each other as saints. So it gives us, all of a sudden in the church, sometimes we get too familiar with each other. We don't respect each other. Jesus died for you. If you were the only person on the planet, Jesus still would have died for you. And I am to respect that redemptive power that Jesus Christ died for you. So we'll get into that as saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers, you can underline overseers, and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So the lesson emphasis in lesson 4 is bondservants, saints, overseers, and deacons. You can now see why we're just doing 2 verses, even though in some of the next lessons we'll be going over a lot more verses. Now, excuse me, what does it mean to be a bondservant? We can see the word servant. I'm going to be a servant of Christ. We're going to serve each other. But when the Apostle Paul used the term bondservant here, he was coming from his Jewish roots, his Jewish understanding. So he is choosing his words well, with the emphasis of being under the direction of the Holy Spirit, to use and then choose the term bond servant. Now, there's a difference about a bond servant. What does it mean to be a bond servant? Now, in Philippians 1:1, let's read this. Paul refers to himself as a bond servant of Jesus Christ. The transliteration of the Greek word for bond servant is what? Doulos. A doulos was a man who chose to serve his master for a lifetime. That's what a bond servant is. Now, a lot of us can say that we're servants of Jesus Christ. But there is a spiritual revelation that comes with the revelation and the understanding of being a bond servant. Now, we can read the scriptures. We can read Philippians. We can look at it and read at it. Well, we're wanting to go in it. And so to come in it, we've got to have the experience. It's a supernatural experience and revelation of a bond servant. Now, there's one thing. A lot of us are living out being a bond servant. But it is more freeing to understand what you're feeling. Amen? Because we see this in Matthew chapter 13 with the sower. When there came increase to the sower of the word, when there was actually a harvest, it was because he had understanding. You remember, I've taught that in times past. Matthew chapter 13, the first parable. What gave increase to the first to the sower? There was understanding. So, there's some spiritual things that cannot be experienced outside of understanding. When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there wasn't any understanding because it didn't make sense. You just knew you needed a Savior. But as we move on in some things of the Spirit, what causes the spiritual transaction is understanding, and that is when the Holy Spirit gives you personal revelation. So I can teach about a bondservant, but if you don't personally get the revelation, which is a supernatural transaction, you don't have it in here. To a fundamental understanding of walking in the power of the Spirit is to have the fundamental understanding of a bondservant of Jesus Christ. When you have that understanding and you get to Mark, you're marked for life. Now, let's turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Deuteronomy. I hope you have your Bibles with you. If you do, I would like for you just to stop right now and turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 15, here we can see that Israel was getting instructions. They were getting instructions about the Sabbath year, the seventh year, previous to verses 12. He talks about the sabbatical year, how if you owe somebody money, it's supposed to be for 6 years, seventh year, it's forgiven. I kind of like that one on my 15-year loan, but my banker hadn't quite got the revelation of what that means. I'm sorry, I got off track. Oh, help me, Lord. Okay. So if we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 12, if you're there, let's read. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. When thou sends him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. You shall furnish him liberally out of the flock and out of the floor and out of thy winepress, wherewith the Lord thy God hath pleased thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Now, well, let me move on. Okay. How long was a man to allow to keep a slave? Okay, we see it there. He shall serve you 6 years. Now, here's what I want you to catch here. I don't have time to develop what's going on here in Deuteronomy 15, but let me throw a few things in. Everyone is a slave to someone, and everyone is a slave needing to be set free. Write this down, if you would, please. Forgive someone. Forgive someone and set a person free. To find out that person is yourself. Forgive someone and set a person free to find out that that person is yourself. So what happens when the scriptures are talking about we're slaved and we're set free? We're wanting to be set free. But did you know you also have the power to set others free? Which is the greater? To be freed or set others free? Now, when he set a slave free, what did he have to do? We see here, it's in verse 13. When you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally with your flock and from your threshing floor and from your wine vat. You shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. Now, usually what happened with slaves, and you can read that in Deuteronomy 15 leading up to these verses. A lot of times a slave is a person, if you could not pay your bills, I'm sure this would be really effective today too, but I like the mercy part because things are running a little tight for me. I don't know about you. Now, here's what happens. If you couldn't pay your bills, then you would be sold into slavery to pay your bills. So it wasn't unusual if somebody owed somebody. Let's say that I owe Ray money, and I legitimately owe Ray money, and I can't pay him. Then I can be sold into Ray as property until I can pay him what I owe him. How can I pay him? 6 years of hard labor will pay my bill to Ray. Now, at any point in time, Ray can set the slave free. But how much freedom does a slave have, but yet the master blesses him while yet he's a slave? Can you see the spiritual transaction? Now, so we can see when he has set a slave free, what did he have to do? When you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally with your flock, from your threshing floor, from your wine vat. You shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. Does it bring in remembrance the prodigal son? But how many people did the prodigal son come to your mind? Why? It never did seem fair to me of the prodigal son. He went out running around, ripping and running, as Doug Mayberry would say. He was ripping and running. And then he ran out of money and ran out of everything. He was guilty of sin. He did not do anything right. He was definitely not deserving. And what did the father do? Kill the fatted calf, because my son has returned. Did the father say, and he even went to the son that didn't do all that, and took part of what the son had and gave to the son that blew it? There again, we're trying to find ways into the spiritual world. Listen, the spiritual world is what moves things. You might think your own attitude and your own conniving moves things. Doesn't move a thing. What moves things is in the spiritual world. We have to understand we are as babes and we don't quite get it. But I want to get it. So one way that we get everything in the spirit's the opposite. What's up's down, what's right's left, what's good's bad, what's white's black. It's just, if you want to understand things of the spirit, have you noticed how it's always the opposite? Right? If you want to be first, you got to be last. I mean, come on. Through the script. Now, we've got to catch on. Why is it the opposite? It's because it's a reflection. Why is it the opposite? Because it's a reflection. You're going to be given bad. And God says, I want you to reflect it, because all things work together for good that them love the Lord. It's all reflective. It all comes against you as a person. It's not fair. It's a reflection. We are to reflect Christ. Are you with me? With a bondservant, we see this. With a prodigal son, we see this. It's all about reflection. Who am I going to reflect? It's like I say, things of the Spirit are like a camera that takes a picture. When you take a picture, well, it used to be before digital cameras, you have to have a negative before you get a positive. You take the negative, you take it into the dark room, and then you take that negative in the dark room, you put it underwater. Anybody know how you used to take pictures and you develop them? You take a negative, you put it underwater. And then when you put it on the water, which is solution, then you'd bring out a picture and it was the positive. You see, everything's got to be baptized. Every event in your life has to be baptized. It has to be immersed into the water. Felt her come right there. Okay, Ray, I ain't waiting no longer. Ray said I'd have to wait this morning. I ain't waiting no longer. It's over. Everything has to go under the water of the Spirit. And then when it comes out of the water, just like our baptism, it's a reflection of the positive. That's what we saw with the bondservant. According to this passage, some slaves did not choose to be set free. Isn't that amazing? We had that with us even in the Civil War, to where at the end of the Civil War, some of the slaves wanted to stay with their masters because their relationship was such. There were three reasons why one might choose to remain a servant to his master forever. It's what it said in the Scriptures. Number one, because he loves you. Number two, because he loves your household. And number three, he fares well with you. Pretty good reason, I say, to stick around. Now, what was the slave to do if he did not choose to leave his master? Deuteronomy 15:17. Then you shall take an awl. You know what an awl is? We have any leather workers here. An awl is just like a pick. You shall take an awl and pierce it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your servant forever. So if you have a slave or a servant, and he doesn't want to be set free, 6 years is up, he can be set free. He can be given the wine and the threshing floor and all this stuff. He's not going to leave him. He can walk with great provision. Or he can stay with his master. Now, you've got to understand, you can say that the slave's not giving up much. Yes, he is, because if he stays, he doesn't get the great provision. So the slave is not only giving of himself, he's giving of everything he's got for the cause of the master. Are you with me? So he gives it all up. Why? Because he truly loves the master. He truly loves the master. Now, he also sticks a hole in his ear. That sounds like fun. Back me up to a door. Stick a hole in his ear. This gives a beautiful picture of the heavenly master who provides for his servants. They're his forever because of love. Now, let me say this to you. If you are a bondservant of Jesus Christ, there's many piercings. There's much pain. There's many piercings of the ear. Why did he not pierce his big toe? It's all symbol. It's all symbolic. What do you do with your ear? You listen. He pierced his ear. Now, please hear me here. If you want to be a prophet, if you want to hear from the Most High God, you can't do it unless your ear's pierced. Did you get it? Listen, if God doesn't have your ear, you can't hear. There's people walking around all the time giving prophecies and words, but they're not bondservants. How do I know if a prophetic word is true? As if they're a bondservant. I know a person has a prophetic ear if their ear's been pierced. They've given it all. You know, it's amazing how we're constantly tested to give it all. I thought I'd given it all, and then here comes another one. I thought, oh my gosh, I thought I'd give him that one too, to find out that I didn't. You ever had God ask for it all, and you thought you gave it all, and then you get mad at God when you find out you didn't give it all? Now you are. I think I got... You know, some of these people have their ears pierced about 10 times. You've seen that? It looks like a Christmas tree. I think if I put mine in, it'd look like a Christmas tree. There's many piercings to a bondservant. Let me move on. What would the masters do? You shall furnish him liberally from your flock and from your threshing floor and from your wine vat. You shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. What mark in the servant's body showed people that he was a bondservant? You know what it is. He had a pierced ear. He had a hole in his ear. And that hole in his ear was proof that he was a marked man or woman for the master. In me understanding and knowing this teaching from years ago, you know, everybody's got their ears pierced now, you know, men, women, everybody's got all this sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, do they really know the origin of that? You know, people are trying to identify with something. They're picking up on it. They just don't realize the spiritual significance. God originated it. And it was to prove that you were owned by God, that you had another master that you gave your life over. So I felt like this whole move and craze of the piercing. You know what I'm saying? People are trying to get there. It's just a prophetic outward thing that we're seeing in society today. The heart of man yearns to give their life to the master. So they're trying to give themselves over to a culture, to something. The human soul is crying to be a bondservant of the Most High God. To be a slave means there would be many piercings. According to what you've seen in Deuteronomy, why do you think Paul would call himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ? Because Christ had set him free from sin, so therefore he loved him so and would serve him the rest of his life. When you're a bondservant and you've had your ear pierced, you maybe haven't walked in the fullness of what it means, but you've made a commitment for the rest of your life just the same. Amen? You've given it over. Galatians 1:10, how are bondservants supposed to behave? It says this in Galatians 1:10, for I am now seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. So we see the behavior of a bondservant is to please the master, not man. One thing that happens with all of us Christians is the fear of man. We want to please man. Everybody wants to be accepted and loved. And I'm not saying go out of our way to be hated. That doesn't get you anything either. But we all want to please man. But it just so happens we have to make the decision. Are we trying to please man? Are we seeking favor of men, or are we pleasers of God? It says, to whom are you a slave? It says this in 1 Corinthians 7:21. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave, he is the Lord's freed man. How many people in here are free by Jesus Christ? We have been set free. We can do anything we want to. It's just our wants changed. Become free. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So therefore, we see the spiritual condition of being free men and women in Christ. He's just saying, don't become back under this slavery. You see, when you're a slave to Christ, you're free. You get the best of both worlds. You get provision, protection. He sticks up for you, and you're free too. You got it all in Christ. The distinguishing mark of believers as soldiers are that they are not entangled with the world affairs. There again, I want you to look at this scripture. How can we know that we got the behavior of a bondservant? This is what Paul said. Suffer hardship with me. I cannot give you a gospel of Jesus Christ. When you came to Jesus Christ, I can promise you one thing, you're going to have hardship. That was a wonderful place to say, glory, hallelujah. You just well agree with it. You know it's true. I've heard most Christians say, I didn't have any problems till I got saved. I got some other people out here teaching, come to Jesus and you'll have everything. You'll have all the money you need and Cadillacs and everything else. And I'm like, oh boy, I believe it. That ain't the same Jesus I hooked up with. The only thing I can tell you. Been a pretty rough road. But the only thing I can tell you, he sure is hammering out the gold. Right? Each one of us are hammered gold, the scripture says. And can you feel the blow of the hammer? Okay. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So there we can see the things of everyday life. We got to be careful with them. because it is an enemy unto the bondservant. What does it mean to be a saint? I went a little quick there. What does it mean to be a saint? We've already talked about that just a little. I'm going to have to move here quickly. The Greek word for saint is, somebody say it for me, hagios. Close enough. Trevor gave me the nod, so I'm going with hagios. It means sacred and holy. A saint is one set apart to God, consecrated to his purpose. All believers are saints. 1 Peter, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you as the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all of your what? Behavior. It says, therefore, prepare your what? Your minds. So if we're going to be saints, the first thing he tells us to do is prepare our minds. That's the reason we're here in Bible study. Why are we here? We want to prepare our what? Our minds. So does your mind have a connection to your spirit? Evidently so. I've heard a lot of people say, I'm just going to lose my mind for Jesus. Well, he's trying to give you a new one. You might need to lose your old one, but keep the new one. Because that's through the mind. It's a connection between mind, soul, and spirit. He says, prepare your minds for action. That tells us the reason we're in here for Bible study is God is saying to us, I am preparing you for action. He's not preparing us to sit here. But what keeps us from doing action? We haven't prepared our minds. You see, a lot of times we carry, well, let's just move for Jesus. Let's just do something for God. Well, I need a little more definition for that. How do I do something for God? Do I go outside and stand on my hands for 3 hours? We need instruction. So we get the Word of God, we get the Scriptures, and we prepare our minds. And if your mind is a prepared mind, the action is just going to happen. You don't have to propel yourself for action. You have to hold yourself back from action. I got a friend of mine in this church. I'll not call his name, but he's got a ponytail about down to here. You have to hold him back. He's ready to jump. I get emails from him. Alan, you going anywhere? I mean, he's just like a bird dog looking for a bird. Well, I'm going over here. Let's go over here. And I'll hold him back. I say, well, no, let's just wait. Well, I just got back from Walmart, and I just had this, I just had that. I'm trying to hold him back. Why? He's prepared his mind. He got spiritually infected with something. So the ways of the Spirit is the opposite. I don't have to, if I've got to talk you into action, it's not real action, it's man's. But if you get it, we want to try to calm you. I'd love to spend the rest of my life calming down Christians for Jesus. Just try to help you not make too big a fool out of yourself. Because you get it. How do we get it? We got to prepare our minds. Why is Bible study important? Why is it important to be here? Why is it important to come to church? Because there is an element of preparing our minds that propels us into action. Nothing's happened until there's action. It says, keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on what? Completely on the grace. What's grace? Somebody. Hey, listen. He says to fix your hope on grace. Now, let's make the spiritual connection. Fix your hope on, completely on, didn't say partially, completely on the grace to be brought to you. I use this as one line here in prophetic teaching. You got to get it. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of who? All right, read it backwards. You got to get a revelation of Jesus Christ. When you do, it's going to be brought to you. What? Grace. When my hope is completely fixed on him. It's a spiritual window. There's little verses in here that unlock spirit. My hope is not on you and your hope's not on me. Listen, I do have hope in the cross of Christ, but it's even more than that. I've got hope on the cross of Christ because it has produced grace. You got to get it. Grace is a spiritual opening. That's the reason Paul says, listen, you got to fix your hope on this grace. And you got to understand something. Grace has measures. If it didn't have measures, it wouldn't more of it have to come. Are you with me? So the revelation of Jesus Christ is based on how much grace you're operating in. Did you get it? You cannot escape the revelation of Jesus Christ because you measure it by how much grace you have received. Why do we receive grace? Listen, if you've kind of stopped up and you're clogged up and your spiritual thing's clogged up, there's not more grace coming to you, God will give you a reason that you need more. He'll unplug you. Listen, all of us in here need grace. Why do we need grace? So we extend grace. How do I act like Jesus? How do I act like a saint? When you get the full revelation of Jesus Christ, it's always tied with the full revelation of grace. Scott McHugh's got a little CD he gave me not long after I first met him from Florida. I'll tell you what, if I can remember it, I'm going to make 100 copies of that CD. And I'm going to bring it next week and you can pick them up free. It's on the grace of God. That's the best message and teaching I've ever heard on the grace of God in my life. If y'all can receive this right, I was glad I was a sinner. So I could experience that grace. You see, you can't get the love of God unless you get the grace, because true love of God comes through the grace. I don't want anybody to get what they deserve. Come on. That's good news. We don't get what we deserve, somebody. We've been set free, and we're going to sign back up to pierce our ears for Jesus, and we want to be a bondservant unto Him. And what do we get in return? We're going to call us a saint. My. Listen, we get the privilege and the opportunity to extend grace, and we didn't even purchase it. I have the right through the cross of Christ to go up to you and say it's going to be all right. And it's true. Yeah. What do you think, Ray? You with me? Okay. You see, we have the authority to do that. How can you do that? It's because you're getting fully a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And it's in extending that grace that grace is a pipe of the love of God. Jesus made one declaration. In that declaration, He said, God, they'll know Him, talking about the world, by their love. That's how the world out there will know that we know you, is because we love each other and we love Him. How do we get the love? You got to get the grace. How do you get the grace? You get it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you walk around somebody and you come in here and have you not noticed some people love people more than other people? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about. Some people love people more than other people. The only thing that means is they got more of a revelation of Jesus Christ than you do. That's all. Listen, I need a whole lot more revelation. But listen, do you know how much fun it is to make that confession? Because I know there's more in the way. I'm setting up the spirit world. I'm needing more grace. There's more on the way because of the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which was yours in ignorance. It's ignorance that holds us of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how the love of God, the grace of God, how we so easily get back in to requiring religion of each other. I'm 60 years old, so I've lived long enough to succeed and fail several times. That's a good thing. I need more grace today at 60 than I did when I began this journey. Is anybody else? And I can honestly tell you, I have more of the revelation of Jesus Christ today than I have when I began the journey. Y'all heard me say this before, the closer to the light I get, the more me I see. The truth from here seems sad, but the truth will set me free. So the closer to Jesus I get, it looks like a more hopeless situation for me. There's not enough lifetime to fix this person, trust me. The only thing that helps me make it is if you'll extend me grace, because y'all know that one day I'm going to be like him. You see, I hope you can see my heart. My heart's the kingdom. You see, God said he doesn't look on the outward appearance of man, but looks upon the heart. I know everybody in here. I know your heart. Now, sometimes my actions might not look like my heart, but you know my heart. Be like God. Look at my heart. When you look at my heart, it's not hard to extend grace. And did you know, listen, I want you to catch this. In my land, I'm out of time. When you extend unto me grace, grace is prophetic power unto my life. When you extend unto me grace, I have then been empowered to conquer and overcome the very thing I need the grace for. It's the love of God that calls men unto repentance. Are you with me? And I'm out of time right there. I don't know if you noticed it, but I didn't get anywhere in my notes. And it's Ray's fault. I will not take responsibility for it. You will get the rest of the notes next week to number 4. You'll have to do a little more study on your own because we're going to lesson 5 next week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for the power of your word. Dear God, I thank you for all these saints that I see here at New Life. And I pray, oh God, that you'll give us more revelation of the bondservant. Dear God, that you have marked us. You have marked us because we have said to you, mark us, oh God. Mark us, oh God. Let us be free in you. Let us be free in you. That your spirit might experience this earth through us. That your spirit might invade this planet, this church. We want it to invade the planet, dear God, but it's okay with me if it starts right here in this church. Let it be more than we can contain. Let it leak out of the windows and the doors and down on the road and let people slide around and come in this driveway. And let them fall under the influence of the power, the love of God. That men might be set free. So that we can worship you forever. Let us prepare these glory worshipers forever in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Go get you an egg.